What is going on, all my dudes and dudettes? How's it going, all my friends? What it do be doing these streets? Welcome back to Kyle Talks, where I'm Kyle and we talk. Hey, we have I say this every week, but this week more than ever, we have a banger of an episode for you guys. We have a guest on today's show. Yay, a guest on today's show by the name of Joe. He also goes by Glocked on World of Warcraft, and funny enough, I met this wonderful individual playing World of Warcraft. He is a fitness enthusiast. He is a goal setter, a go-getter. He has literally lost, in terms of weight, a man, like 250, 300 pounds. He has literally lost another man, another human being. He's a fitness coach. He does a lot of fitness coaching at Orange Theory. He teaches classes. He instructs people. He's a great friend. He's just a great person all around. And really, you'll enjoy this conversation. We talk about fitness, how to stick to goals, what's hardest about sticking to goals, how to stick to goals, how to train yourself to be better, how to lose weight, the psychology of, man, this feels good. I want to go, like, just everything to do with hitting goals, fitness, losing a lot of weight. And there's even some football and rugby tossed in there. I don't want to waste any more of your time because you can see this is an hour-long episode, but this is my main show I do on Wednesdays. Also, I have a show on the weekend called Ficonomy. We talk about finance, economy, and everything in between and how it affects you. If that interests you, we do that show on the weekend. And this is the main show during the weekdays. We talk about society, business, and culture. I don't want to waste any more of your time. This has been a great interview. Please listen, take some notes, enjoy it, share with a friend. And if you enjoyed, go ahead and follow me at Kyle the Horton on Instagram and Twitter. And if you'd like to support the show via Patreon, the links are in the show notes below, but totally don't have to. Now, please sit back, relax, and enjoy the conversation I had with Joe. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in today. You have already heard about the guest. He's here in the flesh. Joe, welcome to the Kyle Talks podcast. How are you doing today, friend?
Doing good. Thanks for having me, man.
You know what? So, crazy thing, everyone. We're recording this a day early. This was supposed to, we're doing Super Bowl Sunday. We're like breaking all norms and traditions around here. I'm recording this. We're doing Super Bowl Sunday. I know we talked a little bit about it. You don't have any plans for Super Bowl Sunday. Tell us about that. You're not a real American. I think that's what you said, right?
Yeah. I mean, I've never been into sports very much. Like, as you know, I have a lot of friends that'll like talk sports and stuff like that, but like, sports has never really been a thing for me. I like playing rugby. I like playing football. I was into archery, like nerdy. I was into archery professionally. But yeah, I mean, I don't hate it. It's just never been my vibe, you know? So I like to joke that I'm not a real American. So.
He said that we were on the call and that made me laugh. Cause I'm like, true. Emily, my wife, she's going out with some friends today to get her nails done and like shop and stuff. And she was texting me. She was like, no one's like anywhere. There's no one around. Everyone's pretty empty. And I'm like, yeah, it's pretty much like a national holiday, pretty much the Super Bowl. Like, I remember I was I worked as a trainer at Planet Fitness for a little bit when I was during my football days. And there I was working Super Bowl Sunday. Don't remember which one. But there was literally no one there. So what me and my coworker did is she brought her iPad in, and then we closed the gym and went to like the liquor store across the street, bought tons of snacks, came back to the gym, and just was eating snacks, watching the Super Bowl the whole time. So
that's crazy stuff, man.
It was, yeah, I really, you know, on the topic of being gyms and stuff like that, you're a personal trainer at Orange Theory, right?
Yes.
So, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, yeah, I've been with Orange Theory for probably about, like, 5 years now.
Okay, so this is, like, what I really want to talk to you about, because when we first, by the way, how we met by chance through World of Warcraft. I joined his guild group to kill, this will be so foreign to a lot of you people, but I joined his guild group to kill a boss on a kind of a hard difficulty, and I've been stuck with them ever since. I like these guys. These are some great people here. So that's how I met Joe. Literally just randomly like 6 months ago, met him in his guild. Where was I going with that? Oh yeah. In Orange Theory. And I remember you mentioned something about going to the gym and you start listening to the pod and you're like, oh yeah, you need to go to an Orange Theory class. Like you keep talking to me about that, and you've mentioned like losing all this weight and all that kind of stuff. We've never talked about it. I would love to talk about that right now. Like, what was that experience? What were you at? What were you at now? Like, how did you get to being like a fitness trainer? And I know that's like a loaded question, but
yeah, I mean, it's definitely like a long story, but like I could probably condense it in like 30 seconds. And it was okay. Like,
we got time. We could talk about,
I'm here for this. So kind of just going into like my early childhood, okay. I was always just a big boy. You know what I mean? Like I was a little bit thicker than the rest. But basically like, yeah, my brothers, I was the youngest, two older brothers. They were always skinny. You know what I mean? Okay. Like we ate the same food growing up. We did the same things. We were just all as active as each other, you know, same thing. And I just got, you know, I got thick. They got taller. I got wider. You know what I mean? So I've dealt with being heavy like all my life. And it got to a point where like, I don't know what it was. I think I got into, you know, out of high school into like college, and I probably just got like fed up. You know what I mean? Like you come to that realization, like this is my life now. You know what I mean? It's not my parents' life. My parents can't tell me to do this. Like, my parents have always tried to help me do it and try to help me get through it and be like, hey, you know, you should try this. You should try that. Why don't you go to the gym? My dad multiple times would be like, hey, you know, I signed us up for the gym. Let's go to the gym, you know? And it just wasn't, me wanting to do it. You know what I mean?
So like during that period then, I totally get you. Cause I've always been bigger. Like my parents, I had this thing when I was in kindergarten. These like random people came up to me and they're like, your son's acting crazy. But I was like two, but I looked like I was in second grade, not only cause I was bigger, but I was also taller. So like, were you taller kind of too, or like growing up through your childhood is what I'm asking, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like in comparison to like my siblings, I was definitely bigger. So like just larger. And then even my brother's just like short. So
okay, gotcha.
I was bigger than him, and like, you know, people thought we were twins, and we were like almost 3 years apart, 2 years apart, you know what I mean?
Oh wow, okay.
Yeah. So but yeah, I was always just like a bigger dude. I'm about 6 foot. I'm like, I think I'm pretty small compared to most like tall dudes I know, you know.
Yeah.
But like I'm about 6 foot right now. I'm about 230 pounds. So
nice. Okay. Okay.
But yeah, I mean, pretty much exactly what you're saying. I've dealt with that, like just always being a big boy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep. Yep. That was literally me. Like I was always bigger. It's crazy too, because I'm the oldest, right? And I have two younger brothers and my youngest is my sister, but I've always been like an ogre compared to like, I'm the tallest person in my family. I've like always kind of been the tallest person in my family. My grandpa, he was like 6'3", 6'2", 6'3". I'm 6'6". So like when I outgrew him, I was like, okay, I'm always the biggest one. And then my two younger brothers, they're tall. Jaden, my first, sibling, he's like 6'1". And then Josh, my second sibling, he's like about to be 6'1". So like they're tall too. But like they're so skinny in frame, like very skinny. They look muscular. They work out. I don't want to take away from them because they both do sports. We all do sports. I don't want to take away from them if they're listening. But you know what I mean? Like they're so skinny where they look muscular-esque, but they don't have a lot of body fat. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's kind of like their build. Yeah, yeah. So I can relate with you on that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's basically the same deal. I mean, it's just
okay.
But yeah, I don't know what it was exactly. Like I got into, I just kind of got on a kick. You know what I mean? I was like, you know what? I'm going to just try something. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to try to, cut back on, you know, unnecessary sugar, just the basic stuff. And it was actually, like actual turning points, right? If you want to say what was the actual thing that made me start thinking about it was I went to, I was in community college, and I started just riding my bike to community college, and it wasn't that far. Like, I could have walked, you know what I mean? Like,
okay, sure.
But I was biking, you know, maybe 5 to 7 miles a day, which that was over the course of the entire day, you know what I mean? So, like, okay, I was getting some good distance in, but it wasn't really, like, hard, you know what I mean? Like, just biking. And I went to a bookstore, and I randomly, by chance, walked past this book, and I looked at it, and it said, it was like 7 days in the zone. And it's, have you ever seen those bars, those zone bars?
Zone bars?
Yeah. No, I'm not plugging them whatsoever, but randomly that dude, I think his name's like Dr. Steers or something like that. And apologize if I'm dropping like S bombs or F bombs. I'm trying to keep it a little PG, but
Yeah, I appreciate
no
that.
No worries. the thing is, the person who invented that is a doctor, and it's all about balancing your food intake. So it's kind of the 1-2-3 method of, like, you know, if you have so much protein, you should have so much carbs. If you have so much carbs, you should have so much fat, and vice versa. You should be eating based on what your body needs. So if you're a big boy, and, you know, I was 450 pounds at my heaviest. So, like, wow. I shouldn't be going to a 1,200 calorie restrictive diet if I'm 450 pounds. I should be going to, like, you know, a big boy diet. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that makes sense. Yeah.
That's what the zone kind of instilled in my head, is like, I tried so hard to do these, like, insane diets, and no wonder people who need to lose weight fail so much, is they try to do these insane diets, and they're looking at it as if, you know, they're just like this teeny person that can, you know, I can consume 1,000 calories and be fine. It's like, no, like, you're a big boy. You're probably burning 2,500 calories if you just sit on the couch. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's why you eat all day, and that's okay. You know what I mean? So you need to eat 2,200 calories instead of 2,500 calories. You know what I mean? Like, that type of stuff.
Yeah.
So anyways, this book literally took me like 10 minutes to read this book. It's like 50 pages, but it just, it all of a sudden blew up my brain. Like, it was just like, whoa, like, I never thought about it this way. Like, I never thought about food being medicine. I never thought, like, if I'm going to eat 10 carbs, I should make sure I have at least 5 grams of protein. You know what I mean? Or at least 2 grams of fat if I'm going to have this, because not to get super nerdy on it, but, like, you've heard of, like, the food table, right? Everybody knows, like, you should have this, and you need to have good fiber, but not a lot of people look at the insulin response table and what your body actually, like, how your body responds to food that you eat, right?
Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure what that is. Could you break that down? So, I've never heard of an insulin response table.
I'm not a professional whatsoever, but
okay. Noted.
It's the idea of, like, okay, the main reason why you hold on to fat usually has to do with insulin, right? And that's why also, if you see somebody who's diabetic, they're going to have a harder time regulating their body fat or their weight, right?
Interesting. And okay.
So you have to look at it, and you can just Google this. Again, a lot of the stuff I'm saying might not be 100% accurate, but the theory applies that, like, if you eat sugar, you're going to get an insulin response in your body, right?
Okay, yeah.
Like, that's kind of common knowledge. But the thing is, like, we say calories in, calories out, and that's true, right? It's all about restrictive calories, right? But insulin, it's what food you're eating, not just how much you're eating. So if you eat, yes, technically you could eat ice cream all day long as you're in a restrictive diet, you would lose weight eating ice cream all day long, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
would that be like the I'm following, so you tell me if I'm following, right? So would that just be like the calorie deficit thing? Like, I could eat like 2,000 calories of ice cream every day, but if I'm out there, or I can eat, like, if I'm burning, let's say, 2,500 calories a day just sitting down, and I only eat like 1,000 calories of ice cream a day, is like that technically how that's losing weight, or am I misunderstanding?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, gotcha.
Exactly.
Okay.
So roughly, and again, this is kind of like all over the place with what I'm saying, but, like,
I'm here for it.
Really basic perspective, okay? Roughly 3,500 calories is a pound of fat. If you burn 3,500 calories, is a pound.
Interesting. Okay.
In your mind, let's say I burn 2,000 calories just sitting here talking to you. I need to eat 2,000 calories to remain how I currently am. Right?
Oh, okay. I follow.
So yeah. If I went to 1,800 calories, I would slowly, over time, once I accumulate 3,500 calories deficit, I would burn a pound. So it might take me a month, because that's only day by day. That's only 200 calorie deficit every single day until that adds up to 3,500 calories, or roughly that, right? That's just like really basic.
Yeah. Okay, I follow.
So when you look at that, but the thing is, the way food reacts to your body, and you know how it is. You eat some food, you feel great. You eat some food, you feel like butt. You know what I mean?
Yep.
That has to do with how your body is responding to the food you're intaking. So like...
Okay.
What for me, like, again, I never really thought about it. I thought, you know, I love this type of food. I'll eat this type of food. And then I realized why certain foods make me feel the way they feel is it's high in sugar or it's high in fat. And there's multiple benefits for both. Like, it's not saying go keto or zero carbs or go high protein. Is what it is. You need to find what works for you and what doesn't work for you. But more than often, too much sugar is going to make you crash because your insulin spikes and drops, right?
Yeah.
So hopefully not to go too sciencey on everybody, but anyways.
No, I love that, this. I'm
this
like,
this little book,
yeah.
This little book, right? And it was just, it was like literally $3, dude. Like, I just bought it because like I started reading it, and like, I don't read all the time, but when I do, it has to be something that just like clicks. And all of a sudden I'm like, okay, like, I get you. Like, I'm reading it, you know? And so I just bought it, and like, I couldn't honestly tell you anything the book said, right? Besides just that basic understanding that finally, instead of my mom, who is literally the smartest person I know, has helped me with all of my exercise physiology, all of my anatomy studies. Like, she's a nurse. She's a massage therapist. Like, she got some knowledge on like how the body works, right?
Yeah, for sure.
But she's helped me a ton with that. Like, even her literally preaching to me all my life about what food is good and what food is not good, it was just that understanding that all of a sudden, this is medicine. Food is medicine, and I need to start treating it that way. Doesn't mean I treat it that way all the time. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I mean, Ash right here, sure. She can tell me that I eat way too much peanut butter when I eat peanut butter. You know what I mean?
Bet. I got you.
But basically, like, that's just like, that's just how it is. When I saw that book, and I don't even know, I was probably like 18 years old. When I saw that book, it just like clicked with me eventually. And I was like, okay, this is how I need to do it.
Man. And I assume, I know we've talked about this before, like when we've gamed together and stuff like that. But I remember I was telling you I did CrossFit during my time in school for a little bit because I'd go to LA. Then I would come back to Fresno where I'm from. And then my auntie, she is like crazy into health and fitness. Like, I had no idea what a macro was before like she really starting it to her health. She's like, you need to have so-and-so macros. And I just did CrossFit with her, right? Because that was the thing. And I've noticed with a lot of like the CrossFit trainers, like at the gym, for example, I can't remember the man's name right now. And that's James. This is James. He was a CrossFit coach, but he was like, no kidding, I think he was like 550 or something pounds. And now he's like 230, somewhere around your weight. And this was a year ago, but like, he did it through CrossFit. He lost the weight and he got like so passionate about it. And so now he became a trainer. So I'm assuming, I'm curious with like from this book and stuff, it's got kind of like the same path you took, or as far as like you becoming a trainer and getting involved in that, is that like the same thing? Like, man, I want to help other people, or I just want to know what like that mindset is like. So I've seen it, you know, a couple of times. So,
yeah, I mean, definitely that's what it was like. You know, like my father was a pastor, right? And so he very much instilled in me at a young age that like, you help every single person if you possibly can, right?
Yeah.
So I was raised with the mentality that, like, you know, you got to leave the world a little bit better than how, you know, how it was when you came, basically. So I definitely, I've always been, you know, I've been in that mindset that, you know, you got to help people. You got to, like, pay it forward. And honestly, like, you know, like, for instance, like that guy, right? We, not to, like, pat ourselves on the back, but, like, we really are white buffaloes out there. Like,
what do you mean by white buffaloes?
Sorry, have you ever seen a white buffalo?
Oh, okay. I follow you. Okay,
we're like rare, right? And it's very hard because people who get to that size, like, there's not really a, there's two ways you do it. You get in control on your own, right? And you do it on your own, or unfortunately something puts you in the hospital and it's either you no longer continue and the hospital is where you end.
Yeah.
Or the hospital forces you or some sort of like massive surgery, right? To get you to that place. And like, we've all seen those reality TV shows. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
So yeah, I mean, it really is. It's like, I don't know. do or die. I was going to say nut up or shut up, but like that do or die type thing. You know what I mean?
It's real. And so, I have a lot of family members, in my family, on both sides of my family and my wife's family, who have gotten, the stomach surgery. Right. And so, I have feelings and thoughts about that. But knowing I have family members in there, one of my biggest concerns with them, and I've shared this with every one of my family members who has gotten those surgeries, right? And it's, in a loving way, but it's like, I'm scared because as a former athlete, as someone who knows, like, you have to want it for yourself. Like, I didn't go and play ball and get scholarships for D1 and San Diego State and all this stuff because someone else wanted it for me. When you get to a certain level kind of thing, and there's a point to this, when you get to a certain level, like, I had to realize this was for me. So, for example, in high school, I remember I got my first offer from the first time I got my offer from San Diego State. I remember one of the security guards came up to me and he looked at me and I was like, it was senior year. I was being dumb. And he was like, Kyle, you don't realize, like, this is up to you now. Like, you ain't gonna be with your mama. You ain't gonna be with your dad no more. You ain't gonna have no one to tell you what to do. Like, you're gonna be put in a serious situation with these people, whatever, right? And the point is, like, that made me realize, oh, I have to take responsibility. Like, me going to this next level is a big deal. And how I'm relating this is, you have to realize, like, wow, this is a big deal. I have to take responsibility for this. Like, someone can't want it for me. I've known plenty of people throughout my life who, some were in fact obese, unfortunately. And if I'm being honest with you, dude, 9 times, 10 times out of 10, they wanted someone to want them to lose weight more than they wanted it for themselves, which really sucked to see. And it comes, and coming back to the surgery, it's like, okay, what is going to change? I've seen the shows where they've put it back on and stuff. Like, thank God none of my family members have gotten there yet. Thank the Lord. But it's also like, what's really changing in you? Is there a passion to want to change, or is this just, oh, I'm gonna fix it real quick and I feel good? You know what I'm saying? Like, do you get what I'm putting? Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like, honestly, like, I think if I didn't have Ash in my life, like, I would probably spiral back. You know what I mean? Because, like,
wow,
there's even times, like, I'll say it jokingly, like, oh, you know, I need to lose weight. Cause it's like, yeah, I gained back a little weight over COVID.
Sure. Yeah.
And like, Ash keeps me in check, and like, it's like, honestly, you know, tomorrow is our anniversary, and it's like,
yeah. Well, how long, by the way? How long is that anniversary?
I mean,
if you don't mind sharing,
it's been a while.
You don't have to, if you don't want to, you don't have to, like, don't, yeah, you're fine. You don't have to share if you don't want to. It's for the, but congratulations. Yes, that's huge.
It's the big, decadal. It's the decadal number.
I don't know. I'm a,
Greek
either
it.
Way, I'm
Greek it, bro. Okay. Decadal.
Either way, that's huge.
All right. Yes. That means 10. That means 10.
Oh, okay. I had no idea. I'm going to be honest with you.
I love fucking with people. I'm sorry. I mean,
no, you're
I dropped that word. I love messing it's with okay. people.
Yes, I like decadal. Yeah.
decadal. So anytime you hear a ten year, you say it's a decadal celebration.
Okay, noted. I like that. In 8 years, I'm gonna hit you up and I'm like, hey, me and Emily are celebrating our decadal anniversary.
No, yeah.
That's awesome though, like to have that like support system, especially in someone you literally love and care about like that, that like equally loves and cares about you that much kind of thing.
Oh yeah, man. Like she has dealt with a lot of stuff, a lot of health issues where she's had a really hard time keeping on weight, and I've had a really hard time keeping off weight. So like we'll get in arguments about it, like what's harder, and it's like, honestly, I don't know. I think they both suck.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think sometimes like there's a lot of people out there that they can't gain weight, and it just, that sucks. And it's the same thing with the people that need to lose weight. You always hear that like, oh, we'll just put down the cheeseburger, fatty. And it's like, well,
yeah, it's not.
Sometimes, yeah, put down the cheeseburger, but then sometimes it's like, you just, you know, there's
science for it and like science, stuff. Yeah. Yeah. My mother-in-law, she was telling me, because she's doing her weight loss journey and she's getting fit and she's killing it. But she was talking to her nutritionist doctor, I believe, and she was like sharing all this information with us. She was saying like, yeah, like a lot of people, like how you just said it, like put down the cheeseburger, you'll be fine. And her doctor, I couldn't tell you the exact science if I'm being honest, but the vibe of what she was telling us was that like, okay, yeah, that can be the situation, you know, more times than not. But also there's these like genetic code and stuff that happens to you that can also make it harder for you to lose weight and stuff like that. So yeah, I've heard that before, and yeah, that 1000% makes sense what you're saying there. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so I don't know. I don't know if you want me to get back on the flow of the time.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
Timeline.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, anyways, I just say that to say like that book, right? It's, again, it's not the book. Mm. It's just the fact that like I finally found something that to me, I read it and it made sense to me instead of somebody just telling me what I should be doing, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyways, moving forward, I tried out some gyms. I won a weight loss competition, like all that stuff. You know what I mean? Like,
okay.
So like it kind of got me going. You know what I mean? So I lost like 25 pounds at some local gym. You know what I mean? Got like $1,500, man. It felt great.
No way. Holy,
yeah, bro.
$1,500.
Okay. Yeah, man. So,
wow.
But anyways, like it was just up and down, up and down, up and down. Right. And,
yeah, got you.
And of course, like I kept trying to stay active, doing my own thing. I had joined a couple like little boot camps here and there, but then I moved out to Texas with family at the time, and I started working for a local city, working as a like media specialist and a public information, basically for a municipal government. And my office basically was right by the planning division, and they started I started hearing them talk about Orange Theory coming in, and I was like, I have no idea what Orange Theory is, and like this is going to be a boomer take, but there was a place called Orange Julius back in the day. It used to be paired up with Dairy Queen. I'm sure you've heard of Dairy Queen.
Yeah, I know Dairy Queen. Okay. I don't know Orange Julius.
So Orange Julius used to be like paired up with Dairy Queen, kind of like if you've ever seen like a KFC mixed with a Taco Bell. I don't know if you've ever seen that.
I got a vibe. I've seen like, I don't know if you know what A&W is, but I've seen like A&W with like Long John Silver sometimes.
Think about that vibe, but it's like,
okay.
So Dairy Queen and Orange Julius was just like this smoothie place. They had like this orange creamsicle thing. I literally thought when I heard Orange Theory, I thought it was this Orange Julius place. Like I thought it was, you know, like a smoothie creamsicle place.
Yeah. Okay.
And like, funny story is like, 2 years after I became a coach there, someone walked in and thought we were Orange Julius, and it like,
nice.
Yeah, it literally just blew my mind. But anyways, the way they do it, the way they like promote Orange Theory, and I mean, if you're in America, you've probably seen an Orange Theory. It's probably in your town. Like we have about 2,000, almost 2,000 studios, at least 1,500 studios up and running. So like, we're like the Starbucks of fitness. Like we're all over the place, right?
Yeah, they're definitely all the way down here in SoCal. I've seen them tons of places, as you know, but yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, what they do is they set up a little tent. They do what we call pre-sales. They get everybody, you know, the community kind of buy into it. And it's like, you get a discounted founder's rate, right? And this is usually like a banger price. It's like $50 off a month, basically.
Wow, okay.
So, like, you could be paying, you know, $150 a month, or you could just be paying $100 a month for unlimited classes anytime you want. You know what I mean? So, like, it's only like the first 25 to 50 people that sign up. So it's like a really good deal.
Wow. Okay. Got it.
So I just drove by there and I was like, hey, I'm going to check it out. I signed up. I was one of the first 25, got a good discount. I want to say I was paying like $100 a month. And like, okay, mind you, right now, at least out here, it's probably more in LA. You're looking at about like $190 a month now. Like,
wow. It's, okay.
You
got
know,
it.
It's a boutique fitness place, right? But for me and the way I look at it now, like, it's worth every single penny. Because if you look at if let's just say for me, right? And again, not to sell anybody on this, but like if I basically could pay $1,000 a year and I lost 100 pounds per year, and all I had to pay was $1,000 to lose 100 pounds. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, okay. I see the math.
You feel me?
Yeah,
like, yeah. Of course, like, I had to hustle and I had to, like, take care of myself and my food and all that stuff. But, money related to, like, okay, yeah, a local gym might be $10, $20 a month, but when are you going to actually go and be disciplined? If you're going to be disciplined, it's totally worth it, right?
Yep.
Go to it. I agree. Don't worry about paying extra money, but like people who are that disciplined, again, another set of white buffaloes out there. You know what I mean? Like, they don't exist. Yeah. I'm sorry. Like, they do exist, but like not as common as you think, right?
No. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for the gym. So I just go to my local gym now, and like, I've talked about it before on the pod. I'm not sure if you've heard, but like the past 8-9 months, I've gone to the gym 5 days a week, every week kind of thing. And it's interesting because I see some of the same people, but it's like two or three people I can put on my hand and like, yeah, I've seen them just as consistent. Because I go early in the morning, and the early morning crowd is just a different vibe, different set of people. But I know two of them by name. Because I see them all the time out of everyone I've seen come in and go. So you're right. It's not, not to pat myself on the back, you know, or nothing.
Yeah,
but
no. I
it's,
mean,
yeah.
Absolutely. Like, kudos to you, dude. Because, like, when you say that, like, that's exactly what I'm talking about. It's like, yeah, it's doable. If you can get there and, like, be disciplined, do it. But, like, on average, most people aren't. And that's...
It's not, yeah.
Yeah, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, some people just don't have that mental, that drive. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's why there's so many areas of self-help and help out there, you know? That's literally
1,000%
why the majority of things. So anyways, back to that real quick. Got into that, started doing it like 3-4 times a week. Just found a good consistency. My job was really high stress at the time. Like, helped me just drop the weight down, gave me a nice consistency in it. And then eventually the people there, the management there, because it's a franchise, right? So
Orange Theory is the franchise.
Yeah,
is what you're saying. Oh, gotcha. Okay, gotcha.
So the management there was like, hey, you know, we're opening up another one closer to your home. Do you want to try out and basically be a coach? And I was like, hey, you know, I have no fitness background, zero fitness background. I just happened to you know, honestly, what the guy said is like, you're really obnoxious. Do you want to try to do this? And I was like,
yeah,
wow. Because like, you I, you know, I just like it, you know, it was great.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like felt good. Losing that much weight felt good. Like, it was literally a weight lifted off of me. So, but anyways, so trained up with them, quit my job at the city, became a coach.
Oh, okay. Got
basically
you.
And that's how it like flowed. Like, about 2 years of being a member, lost a gang of weight, jumped on board, was with them for about a year, now with the one down here in California for about 2 years now, and yeah, you know, it's a beautiful thing. Like, I'm not going to say that, you know, Orange Theory is the end all be all to fitness, but like, it is really great for people that just have no direction, right? And they just want something that works. You know what I mean? They just jump in there, get that class done. So I always recommend people at least trying it out just to see what it's like. You know what I mean? But
yeah,
it's great because like, I've been able to see a lot of people, a lot of, you know, life change, and it's, you know, it's crazy, man.
Yeah. And that's what's cool is, I guess you're talking to the other CrossFit guy. Like, he has a very, it's crazy. I wonder if this is like a common theme, but you and him have ideally a pretty much similar timeline of events. Like, as I'm, cause he's told his story to me, like when I would come go up there for like summers or whatever from school, same story. This is how I did. And it's, as you're telling me this, I'm like, that is literally, I've heard this before. So not to discount your story or say that it's not unique, but the fact it is unique because it's like you're saying, it's white. No, you don't hear about that. You don't see it. Like, it's hard. That is something it's literally damn near unheard of kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
So as far as like when you're talking about like seeing like that weight come off of you and see the like physicality and your physique and stuff. So, like, even with my background in athletics and whatever, when, like, at the peak of my career in athletics in college, I was 6'6", 270. I look like a toothpick, right? Like, it's crazy to think I was 270 and look back like I was 270 because I'm so tall, I look so skinny. But as I'm, like, starting to redefine, like, I want to take care of myself. I feel better after I'm in the gym kind of thing. And I have this whole background of it. And I think that kind of put me off when I finished football. Like, I didn't want to anymore because I did the two-a-days and I always worked and I just didn't want to do anything. Of course, you know, I gained a little weight. Not gonna lie. Like, I'm not going to sit here and act like, yeah, I looked good the whole time because I'd be lying to you and everyone if I said that. But so I'm started going again. Like I said, recently we talked about all that. And I'm, like, starting to do certain supplements, like, all natural, of course, nothing nothing crazy, and like really getting back to it full fledged.
You're not on that, like, juice, man. You're not on that juice.
No PEDs, bro. No, we're good on all that. And so just like getting back, and I don't know how to say this without sounding like a big head, because that's totally like, that's not who I am. That's not what I'm saying. But man, when I like go into the mirror, and I talk to my wife about this all the time, like, and I can joke with her like that or whatever, but like I flex in the mirror, I'm like, dude, I'm starting to look like, holy, like, I'm seeing those incline benches, like, working on the upper pectorals. I'm seeing those ab twists, like, forming up the stomach. I'm seeing my triceps. And, of course, everyone has different goals in the gym, whether it's to build muscle, lose weight. Everyone has different goals. Mine is building more mass right now. But it's, when I'm seeing these things, I don't know, like, if you can relate to this, like, when you're seeing Lake, but, like, you get like this dopamine hit. You're like, dude, I'm actually doing this thing and I'm seeing the results. It's like a carrot on a stick is how I tell Emily. I feel like I get that carrot and I see the certain things I'm looking for in the areas I'm working out. And I'm like, I got to keep going because the next one's going to be right here. So I think that's what keeps me going back to the gym, is knowing what I'm doing and like who I'm working out with and the stuff I'm doing works. So when I get that little dopamine hit, like, you know this works, you've seen it. So in like 90 days, you'll see the next set of stuff. You get what I'm saying here? Like, does that make sense? Do you see what I'm
absolutely
saying?
Absolutely. Yeah. And again, not to go back to Orange Theory, but that psychology is in the majority of fitness itself. Like, whereas like that feeling is what keeps you going, right?
Yeah.
Even as a personal trainer, when you take, like, I guess it depends on what personal trainer exam you take, but like, you have to understand psychology, like, more than anything, right? Of course you need to know how to keep people safe and all that stuff, but like, psychology, weight loss, body transformation is more about psychology than it is about physiology. Because it really is about how you feel, and that feeling is going to carry you over, basically. Like,
yeah, I believe that 100%.
Like, specifically, let's say just with, like, Orange Theory, they have a bunch of ways to actually, like, track and basically show you your progress, right? from day one to now, right? I can see how many calories I've burned since the first day I started back in 2015, right?
Wow.
I can see how much my speed on the treadmill has increased from then to then. And again, I'm only saying this, again, not to promote Orange Theory, but to show that, like, they've invested so much money into this as a big, huge corporation, talking about, you know, society, business, and culture being your thing. Like,
yeah, sure.
They have pumped millions of dollars into heart rate monitors, into analytics, into benchmarking their members, because they know that helps retention. And it's not just from a business money standpoint, but from an actual success and how you feel successful as a person. Like, just how you said, like, you look in the mirror and you're like, damn, boy. You know what I mean? Like,
seriously, no. Yeah, good. For real. Yeah.
And then, it does, yeah. And then, right, if I could actually show you literally like an analytical printout that says, look, this is what you were doing 3 months ago, and you've been coming three times a week, and look where you are now, right? So not only that's a number I can show you now, but also I can show you an in-body scan of how your body composition has changed. And then on top of that, how do you feel? Are you sleeping better? Do you have better, you know, less anxiety? Do you know, all those different things that come with fitness, it's just like a win. So yes, 100%. I absolutely, like, that's what you have to look at, because sometimes scales don't change. Sometimes, like, you be going every single day, you're feeling, you know, you're feeling good, but you're feeling drained because, like, you're on the hustle basically. Yep. But then you realize, like, you have to look at those small little things. Like, it's literally like sweat the small things, because those are the things that matter. Those big, huge gains that you won't see until month three, month six, you know, 12 months in.
Yep.
Those aren't really going to carry you. Those aren't the things that are going to get you up every single day. The things that are going to get you up every single day are those little wins. And that's why you have to sweat the small things. You know, I lifted, I did one more rep. That sounds so silly, right? But you go from barely getting five, but now you got six on like a heavy, heavy lift, one more rep. What if you're doing two, now you're doing three? What if you did one, now you're doing two? You've literally doubled your reps. Like, that's a 100% increase. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Those are the things, and it seems so silly and so stupid in the moment, but like, you got to be so silly and so nitpicky about it and be like, look, I literally just crushed it. I went 0.1 mile per hour faster for an entire mile. And it's like, okay.
Yeah.
And yeah, if I walked over there and you didn't know I hit 0.1, you wouldn't even notice. But still, you know what I mean? Like,
yep.
It's those little things.
Exactly what you're saying.
Those are the things that like mentally carry you over, because whether you believe it or not, weight loss, changing your body is a mental gymnastic that you're doing. It has nothing to do with your physical. Your physical
1,000%
is just happening because your mental is telling you to do it. You know what I mean?
1,000. I was just talking about this in my last episode too, but it's like knowing it's all in your head. It's 1,000% is. And I'm just like smiling right now. You're not in a call, but I'm like smiling. Cause what you're saying, I'm like, it's so true. Like I, my other, so if I miss a day, Like I said, 2 weeks ago, I missed one day. I went 4 days that week. I'd not go five. And I had no good reason. It wasn't like I was sick or whatever, right? Literally, I was being lazy because I didn't feel like it kind of thing. And it was that, like, mental... I was mean to myself a little bit in a healthy way. Not like I hate myself, depressed. But I was mean to myself. It was like, dude, you've been doing so good. And, like, I felt bad, but... I don't know how to explain it, because it's like something I felt, but not in a bad way, but like I ruined my own mental. Like my mental was strong, and what, because I didn't want to do it for one day, like it cracked it. Like what, at least that's for me. I'm sure that shared with some other people, but it's the mental, like, okay, I get up in the morning, it's 6:30, I'm going to the gym. I need to go. And if I like don't go, it's like I feel weird about myself. Like, I feel like I missed out on something in the day. And in addition to that, I don't remember if it was a podcast or a YouTube video I watched. This was a while ago. But he calls it the 90-day rule. I think it was a podcast. The 90-day rule, where if you did, I don't know, let's just say squats today, you wouldn't see the muscle or the fat, the muscle gained or the fat lost or the physique change from those squats until 90 days from that point. So when you talk about like mental, that's how I see it. When I go work out tomorrow, I'm going because I know in 90 days or whatever, right? It's all mental. I don't know if the actual science is 90 days, if I'm being super honest. But how I see it, if I go tomorrow, I know in 90 days, I will see the fruit of that workout set. Tomorrow, 90 days ago from tomorrow, I know I did sets and I'm seeing that. I will see that tomorrow, if that makes sense. Like that's kind of, for me at least, in my mental, that's how it does it for me. Yeah. I know I'll see it in 90 days, kind of, if that makes sense, or you follow that.
No, it absolutely does. Yeah, like, yeah. It's, you know, I think a lot of they'll say like 2 months, 90 days. Like if you really do have to think about it, like going to like, thinking of like, well, Ash will say it sometimes, like being kind to your future self, basically, like, doing something ahead of time, even though like you don't want to do it. And like we all have things that we put off and different things like that. But yeah, really with the thing that you're doing with fitness, it really is. And it's even like this like odd balance of like discipline. And it's kind of, I guess you have to look at it however you want to like, subscribe to discipline, right? Discipline is, yes, waking up every day and being diligent to continue forward. But sometimes discipline can be, right, saying, okay, no, today I shouldn't do this, right? And you have to have that battle in your mind. Is it me being just lazy and being like, you know, I don't feel like doing this today? Or is it like, okay, I've done this now for 4 days straight. You know, my knee's giving me some trouble. I'm feeling it a little bit in my back. Is this my body communicating with me, telling me to chill out? You know what I mean?
I know exactly.
You know how it is. Like we've probably both pushed ourselves to the point where we've hurt ourselves, and then we've been out for a little bit. And so it's like, you know, I think it's great once you are in the rhythm to be disciplined, but when you first start, it's almost like you have to feel it out day by day. You know what I mean? And those first couple weeks are so crucial that if you go too hard and you're too hard on yourself, like you're going to fall off the wagon. You know what I mean? So
1,000%.
It's definitely a balance. But once you get that flow going and you lose it, it's the worst feeling ever. But
it is. Yes.
But you have to remember, like, from starting point, you had to make those course corrections. Like you had to like, okay, I got to hit a break here, make a U-turn, you know, back there because like, you know, I just ran over a nail and a tire popped. You know what I mean? I got to switch out my spare tire so I can get back to my destination. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I got you.
Sometimes it's like that. And like, it really is like, it is mental because like you didn't show up one day and you were hard on yourself and it's okay. But like, that's why you are so disciplined, is because you're telling yourself like, hey, yo, this isn't okay. Like tomorrow we're getting back at it. Like it might be okay for today. And yes, like even the Lord rested, you know what I mean? It's okay.
Yeah, there you go, my man.
It's okay, bro. So
I agree 1,000%. And I think I have that ideology too. I think I owe a lot of my mental fortitude to being like, I mean, I'm referencing football a lot because it was the most physical demanding thing I've ever done in my life. But I think I owe a lot of that mental fortitude to coming up in a situation where, you know, I was manhandled by men bigger than me. I was like cussed at. I was like thrown around, like pressure will either crack you or make a diamond kind of thing. So like having that, like, I know it's not only like other athletes or people who are like really have like gone for something kind of get the whole like being mean to yourself. Of course, you don't want to like make yourself depressed or anything like that. You're not doing it right at that point. But to be able to have like a real conversation with yourself, like, hey, you really screwed this up. Like, and being like for real with yourself, which is very rare in our society, especially our generation now, super rare to see that. But it's like, yeah, you messed up. This is on you 1,000%. You know, you could have did better, but you didn't. And I think I owe that personally to having that mindset. A lot of people build those from going for something hard. Like you, from like me hearing your story, you have built that literally from you losing so much weight, and you've built that mindset. For me, it was built from football and having like, if I can get through this, I can literally get through anything. If I can sit there and get cussed at, pulled at, thrown around, finger stomped, I've broken almost every finger on my hand. It's like, if I can get through that, I can literally do anything. I can go to a gym once a day for, once a day for an hour kind of thing. So,
yeah, dude. And it's honestly like, I highly, highly encourage people to do fitness just for the sake of mental health. Like,
yeah,
if you, even hiking, right? You go on a really high incline trail that like you're dying. You have to turn around and you just keep trying it. You keep trying it. And it's that simple. Like you walk a little bit farther. It doesn't have to be go in the gym and lift super heavy, right? It's just
I agree.
Those type of things. Like you said, you build that discipline in your head by doing it over and over and over again, right? If you literally open the door, and every time you open the door to go outside, you get punched in the face, right? And all of a sudden you realize, maybe I should start going out a different door. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got
you. Or
maybe
when I get out there, I should duck, you know? I should duck when I walk out that. Like, that's what fitness builds. It builds that reaction that you're going into something, you're fully prepared for what's going to happen. You know the consequences of not reacting to said thing, right? And that's what the discipline builds with fitness with your body. So,
yeah. 1,000%.
I don't know. We're already on 50 minutes, man.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't have to be an hour or nothing, but I just realized, I looked at it,
I was like, dang. We're talking a lot.
I'm really enjoying our conversation. I'll say that much. So,
yeah.
No, dude, that's awesome. And I think when we first met, you know, killing the jailer on Heroic and all that kind of stuff. And then, like, I remember I asked you, like, hey, if you guys need a tank, you know, let me know. I'm kind of down. And now here we are or whatever. All that aside, and I remember you were sharing with me, like, you found the pod. I don't remember how you found it. Did I mention it to you or something like that?
I think you put it on your BNet.
Okay, something like that. Okay, yeah. And then I remember you talked to me about your journey, like losing weight, and I was like I remember when you shared that with me, I'm like, okay, I'm dealing with a man right now. I think I'm dealing with like someone who I just like gained this like crazy amount of respect for you when you shared that with me, because one, always being a bigger dude in my life, I definitely know how that is. I remember when I was a little kid, and is big boned like a scientific thing? So I remember my auntie when I was a little kid, she'd be like, oh, child, you're just big boned and stuff to make me feel better. And even as a kid, I'm like, I don't know if that's a real thing, is it? I don't know.
I don't know if that's so.
She would always, always tell me that. And I remember even as a kid, I was like, yeah, I don't know about that. Like, maybe
Auntie
I'm just
said
too
I'm
big
boned.
Yeah, like I don't know about the whole big bone thing. And but great being raised and coming up like as a bigger person, I definitely have always, I definitely so heavily relate to you. Funny but sad story. I'm not sad, just funny because I'm good now or whatever. But when I was a kid, I didn't know how to stop myself from eating, right? So my parents, if I started eating as a little kid, I would literally just eat and eat and eat. Although my wife would say I still do that today. Back then, like, my brain and my stomach, I couldn't tell you what was wrong. But, like, I couldn't tell when I was full or, like, I just didn't care. And I would just eat to eat. So one time, my parents had to impose, like, food limits on me. So I could only have 3 pieces of pizza. I can only have so much amount of food growing up until I got older and I started, you know, being where I'm at now and just like regulating how much food I'm eating. But there's this one time, man, I was eating pizza. I was watching Avatar, the Airbender. And this was like when it was new kind of thing. I remember watching it, sitting down and watching that cartoon and like downing pizzas. Dude, I like was inhaling pizzas. I remember one time I threw up like a whole pizza crust. Like I just swallowed it, I guess, and like wasn't paying attention. And I remember that, like, freaked me out as a kid. So I'm like, Kyle, you ate a whole piece of pizza by yourself? You threw up a whole pizza crust? Like, and I was, like, maybe 7, 6, 7, 8. No, no older than like 9 or 10, no older than that. And seeing that as a kid, I'm like, well, maybe there's a problem with me. You know, and of course, you're trying to figure out how to manage yourself as a kid, and you still don't know what's what or whatever. But I always think about that story and think to myself, like, wow, it's kind of always been there. Like, me having to deal with this, with the eating problem. I was never popular. Like, I didn't really get confidence until, like, senior year of high school, then university and colleges. I was like, I've always been, and this all ties into, like, my weight and stuff, but I was always, what's the word? Like, you like going out, meeting people. It's, it's like a word.
Like a social butterfly?
Yeah, but there's like a introvert, extrovert. That's the word I'm looking for. Oh,
yeah, you're extroverted.
I've always been extrovert. But like it was a little more docile when I was growing up because I didn't have that much confidence. I was always bigger. But I remember I started doing sports in seventh grade because I was tired of getting picked on, you know? And I'm like, I'm just going to play basketball and be good, and then that would kind of whatever, and I found I love football. I'm like, whoa, a big dude can play football, and I guess I turned out to be pretty good at it kind of thing. And that's when like my confidence started coming. So I was working out literally after, from seventh grade to senior year to college till graduation, I was always doing some kind of sports or something like that. And then like the confidence came, I noticed, wow, I'm bigger than most people when I actually like worked out and did all this stuff. So in times to fitness, now that I'm thinking about it, like, it's always, you do get, like, this boost from it. Like, I mean, we knew that, right? But thinking back, even when I was a kid, it's like, yeah, I did see this boost coming up as a kid and wanting to do sports. So, like, I want to get picked on, which was, like, A, the biggest one. And then, of course, every middle schooler and high schooler ever wants a girlfriend kind of thing. So, I don't know if, like, you've, like, had that experience, but that was definitely my experience with fitness. And not surprised, like, I'm at now. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's great because, like, I know a lot of my friends through middle school and high school that were really big into sports, they just, like... Mm-hmm. You know, they got super, super athletic, a lot of, you know, super muscular going into high school, into college. And then, like, once they realize, like, they're not gonna make a career out of sports, they just let themselves go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so,
I've seen that.
You know, I'm sure that, you got a bunch of friends like that. And so it's like, it's just a hard thing is like, they need to find like what drove them before. And yeah, they're not going to go back and play sports the way they did in high school and college.
Yeah.
But you find that thing that drives you and like what those good things were, like what were those qualities that you enjoyed, right?
Yeah.
And you have that carry you through, because like you'll see like that's, you know, that burnout is like the story all this time, right? You know, oh, you know, I was a quarterback, blah blah blah, I got a shoulder injury, and like now I'm 40 years old, and my
still talking about it.
Yeah, both of my knees don't work. You know what I mean? Like, it's like it's good. I think like a newer generation, of course, is looking at it in a different aspect of like, okay, like this was a good time in my life. You know what I mean? Like, this taught me a lot. Like, just like you said, like it taught you a lot. It was a good time in your life. You use that and you carry that forward into your next season in life. You know what I mean?
Yep. I mean, this is a whole nother topic, but I know a couple of old teammates who went to the NFL draft. Unfortunately, none of my former teammates I played with went to the NFL, so there goes. I could have been like, yeah, I played with that guy. So, you know, that is what that is. But I've seen and I've hit him up. And, I mean, I went through the same thing. I know this is a whole different topic, but, I mean, anyways, I'll just end it. Yeah, you're right. I've seen that, and it's like, and when it just coming to fitness, it's like, yeah, man, you had that chance. Like, you got to find what you liked because you're so burned out, which I get that. You've worked so hard your whole life. I know exactly how hard you worked because I did that. I know what it is, but I fell victim to it too. So it's like, I get it. You're like, I'm not trying to do two-a-days. I'm not trying to work. And this can be for anything, right? We're just using the example of football, but I know some like athletes who have done CrossFit who are like, super into weight, and they get something, or like they're chilling for a little bit. Not as high, but anyways, yeah. It sucks to see that. It's like, man, your best version of yourself, I guess this is just in general now, is not in the past. like, you've had good times in the past. You enjoyed A, B, C, D, E, whatever it is that you did. But, like, you have to use that to propel you in the future, because your life doesn't stop when you graduate high school or when you graduate college. And I'm still learning that part, because I feel like my life has been weird since graduating college. But the past 25 years of my life, all I've known is going to school, kind of thing. Anyways, I know that's, yeah. I'm getting off topic, but
I would tie it. Yeah. I mean, I could definitely tie it up for you with it. It's like, I've had one coach basically tell me that, you know, it really is not about today. It's not about tomorrow. Like, of course, 100% live in today, be present today, be as present as you can in this 24 hours right now. But you have to realize those long-term things like fitness, like if you're in your 20s and of course no freak accidents happen in your life, you got at least a minimum of 30 more years on you. At least, right? Like, maybe 40, maybe 50, right? Like, you have a lot of time to figure out what you don't know and work on you. You know what I mean? So don't stress about this week or next week or, you know, even if you're mid-school or out of school, graduation, like, don't stress about that. Like, you are in kind of just a little blink of your total. So just don't stress it. Push towards it. You know what I mean? Like, have a great have a great drive, but don't worry about it if you screw up one time. You know what I mean? Like, you got 50, at least 50 years. If you're my age, if you're Kyle's age, like, you got at least 50 years left. That's like, we haven't even went through half of what we might know now. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly. Yep. Yep.
There it is.
I couldn't say it better myself. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Joe. I appreciate you so much. I know this is something we've talked about being on the show, but now that I've done it, like, this is awesome. I've thoroughly enjoyed the conversation. Is there any? I know you don't really do like social media or anything. So if there's anything you want to plug, anything at all, if that's something you want to, this is your time. Or if people want to get connected with you, if that's something you want to share, this is your time, I guess.
No, I would just say keep listening to the podcast, supporting. If you like this, definitely like hit up Kyle. You know what I mean? If you have questions specifically for me, hit up Kyle, and I'm sure like we talk every other day or so. So like I'll answer if you need something. But I'm just happy to be on and chat and stuff like that. It's good stuff.
Sweet. Thank you so much, friend. I appreciate you.
Yeah, man.